God's word here this evening.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And it's great, amen, to be able to be in God's house, amen, and gather around God's word. Amen. Praise God. I hope that your hearts are open, amen, tonight to the word of God. Amen. I know my heart's open. Amen. I want to receive from the Lord. And it's great to see, amen, God raising up preachers in our church. Amen. And I believe strongly, amen, that God has called us to raise up preachers. Amen. I believe that as a ministry, amen, and that even as just as a pastor, as a preacher myself, that I breed preachers. Amen.
Amen.
And I have that DNA from my pastor. Amen. Pastor Jesse Perez. Amen. Who taught me everything I knew. Amen. Taught me how to preach. Amen. And I learned from watching him, hearing him. Amen. And I pray that, and I see that taking place now in our church. Amen. That as I've been preaching for years. Amen. It's it's a blessing now to see God raise up other men. Amen. And it's not just about preaching, because anybody can preach. Anybody can do this. It's about the character. Amen. It's about faithful men. And the men that I choose to preach, amen, is because, you know, first of all, because God tells me to use them, amen. And also, too, because I've watched them. I've watched them, amen. I keep a close eye on them to make sure that they're keeping their testimony, amen. And, you know, because there's others that can probably come up here and do better than me or them, amen. But, you know, God has really put a heavy conviction upon my heart to make sure that we keep this sacred. This is his holy desk.
Amen.
We must keep this sacred, and we must keep this holy. Amen. And so I don't take it lightly. Amen. For the men that I invite to minister. Amen. You know, I respect them. Amen. And whether they be my spiritual sons or spiritual brothers or fellow ministers. Amen. I respect them. Amen. And for my spiritual sons that I allow them to preach. Amen. I really hold them to a standard. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And so we do our best to raise up leaders. We do our best to raise up preachers. Amen. And so I say all that so that you know that if I don't take it lightly, you don't take it lightly.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can never question, amen, the man of God that stands behind the holy desk and the pulpit. Amen. Because they paid a price to get here.
Amen.
Amen. They paid a price to get here. And tonight, our speaker, amen, he's a young man, a very young man, younger than many of you. Amen. Younger than me, amen. But age ain't nothing but a number.
Amen.
Nothing but, amen. And so, you know, he's been young, but he got saved at a young age. Amen. God brought him in at a very young age. I've been discipling him since he was 13 years old. Amen. And he ain't perfect. Amen. He had his bumps in the road. Amen. He had his bumps in the road and had to deal with him. Amen. But he allowed himself to be dealt with.
Amen.
And that's why God has been able to raise him up. He is our men's home director. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. He's a graduate of the men's home.
Yeah.
And he is a UTC alumni.
Yeah.
Amen. And he is your brother. Amen. So help me welcome him tonight, Brother Jose Camilo. He brings the word.
Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord some praise tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Amen. I love the worship team. Amen. I'm also on the worship team. Amen. And, you know, you may be seated right there. I was standing there, you know, and I was watching Little Frankie. Little Frankie, man. And it took me back. Come on, somebody. It took me back when Pastor just said, hey, get on the drums. Like, I don't know nothing about the drums. And then he said, play. So I played. And I remember one time where he told me to stop playing.
Oh.
I'm like, what? You know, but I remember those days, you know, frustrating days. Come on, somebody. I couldn't get it, couldn't catch the beat. But I thank God, amen, for people that encourage me. Come on now. You always need someone to encourage you in your life. You always need that person in your life to encourage you. Amen. So I thank God for my pastors, amen, amen, and their children. Amen, amen, amen. And their children, I thank God for Pastor Josh and his wife. Amen. And all of you that have spoken to my life.
Amen.
Amen. Tonight, amen, as they have the title, amen. My title tonight is Prayer That Withstands.
Amen.
Prayer That Withstands. As we all know, today is International Prayer Day. Amen. Throughout all Victory Outreach.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. So that's the title of my message. Amen. And if you could turn your Bible to Daniel chapter 6. Uh-oh. Amen. We're going to be reading Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. Amen. Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. Amen. If you could turn your Bible to Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. If I repeat myself, it's because in the home, sometimes I give them the wrong scripture. And they turn to the wrong book, and I'm reading one thing, and they're reading the other thing. They're like, Brother Jose, what are you reading? Amen. So if I do that, that's the reason.
Amen.
Amen. Daniel chapter 6, amen, verses 1 through 12. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I'm going to read amen for the sake of time. Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. And the word of the Lord reads, it says, Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces. And he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two other brothers as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Verse 3, it says, Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the empire, the entire empire. Verse 4. Then the other administrators and the high officers began searching for fault. Come on now, how many of you know the devil tries to search for fault?
Yeah.
It said he tried to search for fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs. But they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. Verse 5 says, So they concluded our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in a connection with the rules of his religion. Verse 6 says, So the administrators and the high officers went to the king and said, Long live King Darius. We are all in agreement with the administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders for that. For the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, they will be thrown into the den of lions. And now your majesty issued and signed the law so it cannot be changed. Official law of the Medians and the Persians that cannot be revoked. So King Darius signed the law. Verse 10. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went to the room, knelt down, and as usual in the upstairs room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God.
Amen.
Verse 11, then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking for God's help.
Amen.
So they went, verse 12, so they went straight to the king and reminded him about the law. Did you not sign a law that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, God, for this time, God. I pray, God, that you move me to a side, God, and you speak to your people, God. Father God, I pray, God, for chains, God, to be broken, God, for generational curses, God, to be broken, God. I pray, Father God, that you give me the words, God, to speak, God, to your people, God. Let me transmit this message, God, unto them, God, as you did to me. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Tonight, I want to talk to you about prayer. I believe that prayer is a key element to our Christian walk.
Amen.
We all know the saying, a little prayer, a little power.
Come on.
More prayer, more power.
Come on.
You know, it's funny how it's sometimes it's like you bring a knife to a gunfight. And you expect to win. You expect to win. You expect for your knife, come on now, to fly faster or to glide through the air faster than a bullet. Well, my friend, you're wrong.
That's right.
You got to understand the velocity, come on now, that the bullet is moving.
Come on.
the velocity against a knife. You can you understand? Come on now, this is Venture Outreach. You used to blast, come on, you had your AKs, wanted to be like Scarface. You know what I'm talking about. You know the lingo, you know the language. Come on now. But that's how it is. Sometimes when we can get into prayer, how we want to bring God what we have left instead of bringing our all. How, but we can see here that Daniel was placed over the entire empire. He was placed, it said that he was trustworthy. Come on now. Back in the day, you couldn't be trustworthy. Come on now, no one couldn't trust you. But thank God that you gave your life, come on now, to God. The one that's giving you purpose, the one that's giving you hope. Thank God, you should thank God for that. Because like our pastor used to say, our cars are safe. Our cars are safe now that you're saved. But you have to understand how prayer really affects your life. You have to understand that Daniel wasn't just put it over a certain office. That he wasn't just put it over the government funds. He wasn't just put over the armor bearing. He wasn't just in the office counting the money.
Come on now.
But God gave him a future. Come on now.
Amen.
God is giving him a future. God is giving him hope. And God is giving him a vision. And where God places you, you got to understand that it's prayer that got you there.
Yeah.
It's prayer that has got you this far.
Yeah.
It is the people praying for you, the people praying about you, that has got you this far.
Good.
That's what you need to understand this morning. That's what I had to understand. That it was my pastors, it was my mom, it was my sisters, it was my grandma.
Amen.
You know, I talked to my grandma recently, my dad's mom. And one thing she told me, she's like, man, as much as your mom didn't like it, before you were born, I would take her to church. And I would put an instrument to her stomach.
Come on.
I would put a mic to her stomach.
Come on.
She said she would go to the store and she would buy the preacher's tapes. The cassette tapes. Come on now. I was born in the mid, so come on, I know about that. The CD players, the Walkmans, the radio you put in my head. Turn the radio on.
You better tell them.
Hello. But she said she would do that. And I had to understand that I was called.
Yeah.
But it was through prayer.
Yeah.
It was through people fasting.
Yeah.
It was the endurance of my pastor. Yeah. It was the longevity of my pastors. It's the longevity of your pastors.
Yeah.
When they plow the ground, Daniel wasn't just plowing the ground for right then and there. But he knew that he had a purpose in life.
Amen.
And I got a purpose in life. And so do you. But it's because of prayer.
That's right.
Huh? And what's prayer? Prayer is a solemn request for help or expression of thanks addressed to God.
Come on, yeah.
Huh? It's a solemn request for help.
Huh?
How many of y'all know we all need help?
Right.
Come on now. You look at the person next to you like, brother, they still look like need help. But it's a solemn request. Each day we get up, we make a solemn request for help. Why? Because without God, we can't do this.
How
without God, I wouldn't be able to do what I do. How without God, I wouldn't be able to open my mouth. I wouldn't be able to see. I wouldn't be able to feel. I wouldn't be able to teach. I wouldn't be able to play the drums. I wouldn't have that ability.
Tell it.
But because of God, because there was people behind me, in a solemn request.
Yeah, come on now.
Huh? In Hebrew, it's philia. Philia. Huh? And what that means, it means the pouring of the heart. The pouring of the heart to God. Huh? Sensing His presence. Sensing His presence. We got to sense God's presence in prayer.
Amen.
We got to sense God's presence in prayer. If you read the book of Daniel, it said that he told them that, let us fast.
Come on.
Let us pray. Huh? He said, I'm not going to defile. I haven't defiled my body with the meat, with the rich wine. But he said, give us some time, and I'm going to show you what my God can do.
Come on.
I'm going to show you that God is separating me, that God has put me aside, that God is going to stretch me, that God is going to teach me something.
Come on.
Huh?
Good, Jose.
They had to understand. Come on now.
Amen.
Daniel put down his foot. Huh? But we got to understand that prayer should be a Christian's lifestyle.
Yes.
Prayer should be a Christian's lifestyle. This is my lifestyle. This is what I do.
Amen.
This is what I was built to do. Come on now. Some of you in the street, is what I'm built to do. Huh? You're doing this, you're doing that. But God has broke you down and rebuilt you to do something else. Huh? If somebody ever never told you that, well, let me tell you that tonight. That God is going to rebuild you and build you to be something else. You're going to be better than Four Tough. Come on now. You're going to be better than Four Tough. Huh? You're going to be better than the oil they put in there, than the gas they put in there.
Come on now.
Right there in Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. This was done, huh? This is a lifestyle that we believe in Victory Outreach.
Amen.
It's prayer.
Yeah, it's
we believe in prayer.
That's right. It's good.
Yeah. Huh? Because prayer has brought us for over 51 years.
Amen.
Huh? It's like if you go to the gym and you start to see results, you wouldn't change the diet you're on.
Right.
You wouldn't change what you're doing in your in that diet. You wouldn't change how much water you're drinking. You wouldn't change how much meat you're eating. You wouldn't change the outcome. Why? Because you like what you see, the outcome. You like the outcome. You like what's being produced. That same thing here in Victory Outreach. We're not going to change our values because we don't like it. We're not going to change what we believe in because somebody else says we're wrong.
Come on.
We're going to believe in it because Pastor Sonny believed. Amen. Pastor Ed believed. Pastor Jesse believed. Our pastors are believing.
Yes, yes.
And prayer works.
Yeah.
Huh? When you go to work, God goes to work.
Oh, come on.
Huh? You got to do something. Come on now. You have to do something.
Right.
Why? Why do we believe in prayer?
Come on now.
Why do we pray? Huh? It said right here that Daniel prayed 3 times a day.
Mm.
3 times. We can sleep in that first hour. Come on, somebody.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you. I fight too. But it said right here that Daniel went into his closet. Come on, his prayer closet 3 times. He stepped on the battlefield 3 times. He had to fight those 3 giants. He had to take them out because they didn't belong right there. That's how we got to be, huh? We got to pray 3 times a day. Knowing us, we got to pray all day. Come on now. No, knowing the battles we fight. Knowing how bad the devil wants to take out our ministry. Knowing how bad the devil wants to take out our pastors. Knowing how bad he wants to take out the men's home, the women's home. Knowing how bad he wants to take out you single. Knowing how bad he wants to take out the marriage. And that's why we get up and pray. And that's why the men's home gets up and pray. And that's why we have chapels. Why? Because we believe when there's more power, when there's more prayer, there's more power.
Yeah.
When there's more prayer, there's more power.
Right.
Tonight we're going to pray, and I don't know about you, but I'm a yada with dada.
Come on, right.
Because that's what I need.
That's right.
Because that's what I was taught. And I'm never going to change my diet.
Come on now,
maybe. God changes it right here. But my spiritual life,
amen, amen.
I'm never going to change my diet.
Yes, yes.
Come on now, my diet has got me this far.
Yes.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, verse 40. Hello, my Bible's ripped. Where are you at? Matthew chapter 26, verse 40. Did you get there before me?
Amen.
Matthew chapter 26, verse 40, it says, the word of the Lord reads like this. It says, then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. Hello. He said to Peter, couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? 41 says, keep watch and pray so that you will not give into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Huh? The spirit is willing, but the body, the flesh, the carnal. Huh? The carnal, the flesh. Something that doesn't want to get up in the morning. Come on now. But our spirit. There's something about when a man of God is on fire. There's something about when the woman of God is on fire. There's something about when the gang is on fire. There's something about when there's revival taking place. Huh? But God came back and was like, yo. Big shot is raising, right? What are you doing, bro? Come on, bro.
Come on.
Hey, get up. Nah, we don't think on this. Like, bro, come on. This is the third time already. Huh? But he told Peter, he said, couldn't you just keep watch? Some of us forget to be watchmen. Huh? We forget to watch. We forget to be the lookout. Come on now. You were the lookout out there. You were looking out there. Now it changes. Now you got to flip the script. And you got to look out for your brother. You got to look out for your sister. And you got to pray for them. And when they go to sleep, you say, hey, we're in battle right now. You need to wake up. Because temptation is coming. The devil is coming. The devil's coming like a roaring lion. And I love you this much that I'm going to tell you that you're wrong for falling asleep. Huh? Don't fall asleep. We're in battle. Don't fall asleep. Huh? He said, couldn't you pray? Couldn't you pray? Huh? I know in Victory Outreach, we got some prayer warriors. Huh? You're hiding. Come on now. You're hiding. God wants to raise us some prayer warriors. Huh? Some interceders in our church. Why? Because we need it. We need it. We just don't say it so you could sign up. Oh, can I have an application? But this is the things that we need. We need these things. Jesus told disciples, couldn't you pray? Huh? Why? Because prayer is what's going to cover our families, our pastors, huh? Those who are lost and bound. That's why we pray. That's why we come to God. Huh? Why? Because we ask God, God, can you save my uncle? Huh? He's always getting drunk. Can you save my aunt? She's always clubbing. Can you save my brother? Can you save my sister? They're on the verge of suicide. And I know, God, that you're real because you brought me this far. I know, God, that you're real because you've been answering my prayers. Huh? Because you told me when my prayers go up, they will not come back void. So I'm going to stand on that promise. I'm going to keep praying for them. And I'm going to keep going at it. No matter how much the devil tries to take me out. No matter how much the devil tries to put a wall between me and you. I'm going to break that wall. I'm going to walk through that wall. Huh? God has called us to be victorious. Victory Outreach, God has called us to be overcomers and not overcome. But you got to understand the power of prayer and why we do it. We don't just come up here and hold the mic just to look good or just to give you something to hear. This is not a show.
Come on now.
This is not the Mari show. Come on now. This is not the other shows that they show on TV where you watch and laugh. No, my friend, this is the real deal. The holy field. This is how you're going to get it. Because it's the power. Huh? Prayer is a time you build your relationship with God. It's a time you go deep into His presence.
Amen.
Prayer is where you can find God.
Yes.
Amen.
But sometimes you just gotta go into the deep.
Yes.
You gotta go deeper.
Amen.
If you don't pray, if not, the devil will take you out.
Yes,
but you see here that Daniel had a relationship with God.
Amen.
There's something about when you have a relationship, huh, with your mom, with your father. It's right there. It's intimate. But it's another thing when you have a relationship with the Father above.
Amen.
See, your mom and your dad can only love you so much. And they love you. They want the best for you. Your uncles and your aunts, they can only love you so much. But there's something about the love of God. There's something about the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. There's something about when the love of God comes upon you and you grasp a hold of it and you show someone else, hey, come and pray with me. I want to show you how to pray. Why? Because I love you and I don't want you to be stuck in a battlefield when you don't know how to pray. I don't want you to be stuck in a battlefield when you don't know how to worship. Let me show you the love of God.
Right.
Daniel had a relationship.
Man, that's good.
Daniel knew it was God that gave him that position. Huh? Don't forget it was God that gave you that position at your job.
Amen.
Huh? Remember those prayers. God, if you give me this job, I promise. Ooh.
Yeah.
I promise. God, if you give me this job, I promise I'll give you this much. I'll do this for you. I'll do this for you. You can't forget. I can't forget. Come on now. I can't forget when I was in that warehouse sweating. My boss didn't care about me.
Come on.
The people around me didn't care about me but Brian. We're there. Come on now. Working to get to the UTC. But they didn't care about me. Huh? God cared about me. That's why I gave away my job. That's why I gave away my car. My pastor didn't say, hey, bro, you better give away your job and your car.
Come on.
He didn't do that. Huh? He was constantly encouraging me, asking me, you ready to go to UTC?
No.
You ready to go to UTC? No. I backslid. I came back. Pastor, I'm ready to go. I can't do this no more. I can't stop. I can't stop me no more. I can't stand in front of myself no more. Because I know on the other side of the door, there's something great. I know on the other side of the door, there's something better than that warehouse job. I know on the other side of the door, there's something better than that Apollo 08. Huh? There was men. There was women. Huh? Daniel had Jesus. Him and a couple of homeboys. Come on now. Huh? That were right there. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They were right there. God gave him those names. Huh? God renamed them because that's what God wants to do with you. God wants to rename you, but you can't forget the position God has put you in. You can't forget that you're there to intercede. You're there to pray for people. You're there, huh, to cast out those spirits. Come on now. You're there to rebuke the enemy. You're there because God has put you there. And he has emptied you out. And that's what you ought to be doing, is to empty yourself out. Coming to church and standing like that. And sitting down like, Pastor, give me more. And then go back like a sponge, just squeeze. Come on now. You got to squeeze. Huh? My pastor always said, be that sponge. I got a lot of water in me right now. Huh? Just be that sponge, bro. Be that sponge. Oh, he'll get onto me. You're not being that sponge. Huh? You're being a clog, you know. But it helped me. Because I had to understand where my pastor was going. I had to understand. I would see him pray. I was one of those few that would walk behind him. He'd be like, and he'll keep praying. And I'll see him. I remember one time at the Park Road Church, he had his aisle. Come on now. He had that aisle. Nobody could walk to the aisle when he was praying. It was right there. He was walking. I was just walking behind him, but I was, you know, a little bit bigger. And, you know, I had to be respectful. And I tried to get out the way. You know, I was like, you know, I try to squeeze. Come on now. Some of y'all try to squeeze through. Huh? And he just looks at me. Oh, when he looks at you. Like, you know? It was, yeah, it's funny to you. You know, but it's just those times when I would see the man of God in prayer.
Yes.
It was those times when, hey, bro, you want to fast? Yeah, I'll fast with you. I'll turn around and eat a burger. Come on now. One time, I'm going to tell another story. One time, me and Brother Alex were fasting.
Oh.
And when you're with your pastor, come on now. You know, someone's going to eat. Either you or the pastor. Right? Someone's going to eat. Amen. Sorry. Someone's going to eat. So he goes, hey, I think it was my first time when I went to Fly to Mighty Man. I believe so. And he goes, hey, you hungry? Why? I'm like, I say nothing. I didn't say. He goes, you got money? I'm like, And then he got, I forgot what he had, but it looked like nachos or I don't know what he got, but it looked so good. I was like, wow, that's like heaven on earth. And then he goes, hey, why don't you go get you something to eat? I'm like, that's a command I can follow. I can be obedient to that. I can obey your command. Come on now. And I go, man, I felt so bad. Brother Alex was there. He was like giving it his all. And I'm over here like. And then he tells Pastor. He goes, hey, you know, what did you eat? And he, you know, he, and then Alex tells me, hey, what did you eat? Pastor goes, oh, he ate. He ate. I'm like, oh, Alex looks at me. Huh? Come on now, I gotta be transparent. You see me? Huh? But Daniel, huh? Daniel was in a position. We can't forget that it is in prayer God will position you for the blessing.
Amen.
We cannot forget that it is in prayer God will position you in your blessing.
Amen.
Amen. And piano player could come up. Amen. Amen. My second point is we must be loyal to prayer.
Amen.
We must be loyal to prayer.
Yes.
It's the loyalty to God that's going to build you.
Amen.
It's the loyalty to God that's going to build you. A loyal person is a person who is giving or showing a constant support, allegiance to a person. Huh? We allegiance our praise to God.
Yes.
If I'm not loyal in my prayer, I'm not loyal to God.
Come on.
If I'm not loyal to God, I'm not loyal to the Holy Spirit.
Come on, right.
If I'm not loyal, I'm not loyal to the Trinity. Mm-hmm. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
That day, I would literally put God on the back burner if I didn't pray.
Come on now.
I would put everything before Him, even though He says, don't put nothing before your God. Before Him, I would put Him on the back burner. God wants people to be loyal to prayer.
Amen.
That's good.
Matthew 6:33. Matthew chapter 6. Oh no. Okay, yeah, it's right. Hello. I thought I wrote the wrong scripture. Amen. But I'm gonna read it up here because it feels cool. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Amen. Let's all read it together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. God wants to give you inheritance. In prayer, God wants you to inherit what He has. But if you never seek God, if you never go before God, how do you expect to receive the blessing? How do you expect to receive His kingdom? How do you expect those things if you never go in expectance?
That's good.
How? It won't happen. We gotta put God first in our lives.
Right. Yes.
He needs loyal men and women of God that are going to give their lives to Him.
Yes.
Romans 12:13-14. You can read it on your own time. But we have to know that in our prayer we find confidence. In prayer, you will find strength. In prayer, you will find peace. Because there are the only people who are not. Because there's people that are not going to like you. Come on now. You got to find peace. Before you find your peace. Come on, somebody. You got to find peace. If you don't have peace here, you don't have peace here. If you ain't got peace here, you ain't got peace here. Why? Because I was served the top up, sideways, and down. If you don't have that peace, there's no peace in your life. But you're going to have to learn. You're going to have to learn to pray. If you don't know how to pray tonight, you're going to have to learn.
Amen.
The way I learn how to pray is I listen to my pastors.
That's good.
I listen to my pastors. I listen to my leaders.
Yeah.
I didn't come in knowing how to pray. I didn't know what to say. I would tell God, oh, what's up, homeboy? That's how I would talk to him because, you know, there's no wrong prayer, but, you know, someone being in the corner, oh, what's up, homeboy? They're like talking to themselves, and man, we think they're crazy. We don't think they're crazy because this is victory outreach. But we have to learn. But it takes work. It takes work. It takes work, but if the enemy can keep you in bed, you can't go to work. Mm-hmm. Right. He's going to clock in. Come on now.
Right.
He's going to clock in and he's going to do what he does while you're laying there in bed. Mm-hmm. But I want to encourage you that when you feel like you don't want to get up, because we all do.
Yeah.
At one point in time, and through the time of the week, you're just like,
yeah.
You're hanging in there. But it's prayer. Why is prayer so important? Christians believe that prayer depends on a person's faith.
Yes.
Praying can help the believer come to a greater understanding of God's purpose for their lives.
Yeah.
It will give them a greater understanding. Christians interpret the response they might get to their prayers in the following ways. But God answers prayers, but not always in the way the person wants. God is not going to answer your prayer in the way you want it, but he's going to answer it. But it's you saturating yourself in prayer. It's you taking the time to kneel down. It's you coming to the prayer night and actually getting into prayer and actually opening up your mouth and actually speaking to God. Why? Because sometimes people can come to prayer. And it seems like to them that God is just a genie.
Wow.
But God is better than a genie.
Yeah.
God is all powerful.
Yes.
God is all powerful.
Yes.
And what didn't work for you, God is going to put in your life so it can work for you. God is going to do something in life that you're not going to understand. But like I said right here, when you get into prayer, it helps people find their purpose.
Yes.
And understand the vision for their lives.
Good.
As we all stand tonight. Prayer. Prayer. I learned prayer when I was 14. 13 years old. I started to grasp because if it wasn't for my mom, come on now. If it wasn't her giving me the boot and Pastor picking me up, come on now. Driving up, and get in the car. I don't know you, but I don't care about nothing right now, so I'm gonna cry and get in the car. Because I didn't know what love was. I didn't know what worshiping God meant. But when you see that the people of God, when I first walked into Victory Outreach and I seen my pastor preaching and I seen Sister Sylvia on the piano and they would do everything there in Park Row and Sister Sylvia would have to stop playing the piano and run into the children's ministry just in case, you know, something happened. Come on now. And then she'll run to the office and she'll be right there with the sisters counting the money and I don't see her run back out. But it was prayer that kept him.
Amen.
It was prayer that kept him.
Amen.
And I personally believe, because of what I seen and because of what God did for me, my little sister right there.
Come on.
She wasn't supposed to survive.
Come on.
If y'all didn't know, when she was two, she got ran over by a Suburban. It went forward and backwards, but you can't see that because of the power of prayer.
Yes.
You can't see. She's supposed to walk with me. My mom would tell us that. You're not even supposed to be walking right now. You shouldn't be alive right now because of what happened at birth.
Wow.
But because of what Daniel did.
Wow.
He fasted and he prayed. God positioned him because God had an inheritance. God had an inheritance and God has an inheritance for you.
Amen.
So tonight, in this altar call, if you want God's inheritance, I want to invite you up.
Amen.
If you believe in power, if you believe in the prayer of power, I want you to invite you. And you might not have nothing all your life, Huh? You might have come up and went back down, and you might have all this money, you might have, but a drug addiction came into your life. But God wants to let you know that He wants to give you an inheritance. He wants to give you an inheritance. Huh? And it's going to flow down to your children. Huh? God said He made a covenant with us. Huh? A covenant. God has made a covenant. But I believe that it's the Church of Grand Prairie. We're going to inherit God's people. We're going to inherit the nations. There's cities with our names on them. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands right there where you're at.
All that I need, your glory is all. All I want to see, I won't go unless you go.
Come on, before me.
That inheritance
in your hands. to stay in His presence. To stay in His presence right there where you're at. Come on, let God move in this place. Let God speak to you. There's an inheritance that you need to inherit. And you're that one. Despite what they said about you, despite of the world beating you down, despite of the drug addiction, you're the one. But you gotta give them your everything. Come on, just stay in His presence. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Rababa, Yasata, Yasiti, oh, Robo, Yasoto, Yasata, oh, Rababa, Yasata, oh, Robo, Yasoto, Yasata, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Rababa, Yasata, God, we rebuke the enemy, God. God, we rebuke his lies. Oh,
you are worthy, Lord. Thank you for being our friends over troubled waters, Lord. Hallelujah.
Stay right there. Let God loosen those chains.
Hallelujah.
Let him break those generational curses.
Giving us the name above all names.
There's power in prayer.
Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord.
There's power in prayer. You gotta have enough faith.
Hallelujah.
You gotta have faith to move the mountains.
Jesus.
You gotta have faith to break that drug addiction.
Hallelujah.
How the bondage that the devil has put upon you. That he tries to keep coming in and trying to cast all his restraints upon you. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Oh,
Jesus.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, King Jesus. Thank you.
I just want to be in your presence. I just want to stay here forever. Kneeling down at your feet. I'm giving you everything. I just want to be in your presence. I just want to stay here forever, laying down at your feet. I'm giving you everything.
Church, pray.
I just want to be in your presence. I just want to stay here forever, laying down at your feet. I'm giving you everything.
Come on, you gotta sing.
I'm giving you.
Opportunity tonight to give your life to God. Maybe you're a backslider. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus into your heart. But tonight you feel the tugging of the Lord. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, that's you. You say, you know what? I want to give my life to Jesus. I want you to raise your hand. God bless you, my brother. Anybody else? God bless you, my brother. Anybody else? Just raise your hand. If you raised your hand, I want you to get out of your seat. I want you to come stand in front of me. I'm going to lead you to the Lord. If you raised your hand, I want you to come to the altar. Come. Amen. What a beautiful thing it is. What a courageous thing to do. To give your heart to God. I want some leaders to come help me pray. Some people to come help me pray. Some men of God. Anybody else? Come. Pray for them. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. You believe that? Amen. Amen. You ready to come back to God? Praise the Lord. The Bible says he's married to the backslider. That means that there's a strong connection that he cannot, cannot be broken. Because you're married to the backslider. No matter how far you've walked away from God, he's always been there, tugging at your heart. Even when you try to run from God, he's popped up because of that covenant that you made with God. Don't forget that. Now you find yourself here, back at the altar. The Bible says that a righteous man may fall 7 times, but he gets back up. Righteous man, righteous woman. It's one thing about when you get saved, we're marked. God marks us. He marks us. And he keeps his loving eye upon us. Say this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, forgive me my sins. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you love me. I know you love me. Because you died on the cross for me. Thank you for your mercy and your grace and your love towards me. Jesus, resurrect me the way you were resurrected. Give me life, true life, peace, and joy that doesn't come from this world, but comes from you, from being in your presence. I feel you right now, Jesus. Come into my heart and be my Lord.
forgive me for all my sins. Forgive me if I walked away from you. Forgive me, God. Thank you for your mercy. I receive your forgiveness. I rebuke the enemy. I rebuke his condemnation and all his lies. I believe in your word that you are merciful, that you are loving, that you're forgiving, and that you're the God of the second and third chance. Give me that chance here tonight. I surrender my heart to you in the name of Jesus. In your precious name, I pray. In the name of Jesus, pray for the church. Father, we lift them up to you, God. In the name of Jesus, fill them with the Holy Spirit. Fill them with thy peace. Fill them with your love. Yes.
Okay.